Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining me now is one of our absolute favorite guests, and that is Bob Grove, who is the Penguin expert in many things more than that. Hi, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Paul, and I hope you're doing well too.
Yeah, I can't complain. It's been a nice flow to the show tonight. You know, every so often that happens, even to me.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying yourself.
The Penguins, obviously, if you look at what they did last night, seemed like it's a formula, Bob, for them to play and survive when they have all these injuries. They won 2-1 over Anaheim. The question is, can they play that way and stay disciplined enough to play that way and do it until they get, you know, some of the cavalry back?
Well, yeah, that's absolutely true. And, you know, the cavalry's not coming back for a few weeks yet, right? So they would have to put together a stretch that, quite frankly, we haven't seen them do in seasons past, the last few, to play that, you know, that responsibly, smart, from start to finish. Sure, they can do it, but they've really not proven to be able to do it consistently night in, night out. I mean, one of the things, let's face it, one of the ways the Penguins survive is that there's a few nights along the way where they absolutely don't play that well, but they outscore teams because of their skill level. And right now it's going to be harder for them to do, given the players that are out of the lineup, right? So the question you just ask is one of the big ones I think everybody is asking. Can you just get it done? Maybe have to win ugly every night like that. I don't know. I think they're gonna need some more from some more people for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing is that, you know, to me, we saw some good things from the Penguins and some players, but this is obviously a work in progress, isn't it, Bob? I mean, this is not going to be a finished product for quite some time because of the injuries and, you know, all of the new players in the lineup.
Well, that's right. I mean, even when you know, you started the season and you didn't have Rust. But it looked like it. Well, you did. You had, you know, pretty much everybody else. There were still a lot of questions about who's fitting in where. You know, how is McCann going to work on the third line? You know, can Bukestad kill penalties? Where does Cahoon fit in? You know, what's Tanev really going to mean from an offensive standpoint? You don't yet have those answers, and so now you have to make do with. Hey, here's the other thing, Paul. If you think about last night's game, you know, the Penguins dressed, you know, 11 forwards in the previous game against Winnipeg. And that backfired when Hornquist had to leave the game early. They dressed 12 forwards last night, Paul, but two of those guys played less than 2 minutes. You know, Agostino, who got sent back to the American League, you know, he basically got five shifts, averaging about 20 seconds a shift, believe it or not, last night. And so that's, you know, this is not the way for me that I can see getting this done. Adam Johnson, who was playing his first game this season, played less than a minute and a half. So when I look at it, they dressed 12 forwards. They played 10. And if you look at the time on ice, Sidney Crosby played 24 minutes plus, and that's a lot for him. Jake Guentzel played 25. That's probably a career high. I haven't looked it up yet. It's on my list of things to do tonight. You cannot play that line that much night after night after night for weeks until everybody gets back. It's not going to work. So you have just got to get contributions and have enough confidence in some of these other guys to play them more than they're playing.
Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, if they're playing that many minutes, you know, by the end of the season, that's going to add up. And again, some of the guys that you mentioned aren't exactly young.
Well, you know, Sid's 32, but he never looks like it, right? I mean, the way he takes care of himself, the way he trains. I mean, he was brilliant again last night. I thought he was their best player on the ice in the loss to Winnipeg. So he just continues to get it done. And, yeah, you can pile 24 minutes on him, and he'll continue to give you great effort every single night. But I'm like you. I'm thinking about weeks and months later. What is the toll? You just can't play these guys that much. You played with 10 forwards last night. That can't continue. You got to have enough depth in your organization. I'm sorry. Some of these guys, you're just going to have to put them out and let them play. And I don't know what, you know, I don't know what Adam Johnson and Agostino did last night. They were both on the ice for the only goal the Penguins gave up, which to me was Matt Murray's fault, not their fault. You know, and I could review and go back and look and say maybe they made a mistake that helped somebody, you know, build up to getting a chance. But the shot should have been stopped. So you have to just say there's something the coaching staff didn't like about the way those guys, in their brief time, conducted themselves. But that's not a recipe for success. And the schedule, Paul, it's tough. You got 7 games coming up in 12 days. A back-to-back this weekend. You got Minnesota tomorrow night, their home opener. They're 0-3. They're off to one of the worst starts in the league. They can't score. There's going to be huge pressure on them to win. And then you're going into Winnipeg. And that's a team you just played. Guess what? Scheifele and Laine together, the Penguins didn't have an answer for stopping them here earlier this week. So, and then you got Colorado coming in next week, and Vegas, who's one of the best teams in the league, I think, can get to the final, and Dallas, who's struggling but should be a better club. The schedule's not easy, and the Penguins need results. There is a big, big hill to climb for them, for me, in the next couple weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's where we're going to, you know, early on in the NHL season, Bob, as you know, it's so hard to get a gauge on what teams are doing. Everybody's sort of just trying to settle in and find themselves. They know they've got 82 games to kind of get it done, you know, or to figure it out, at least, you know, maybe 60 or 40 games or whatever. But
right,
you can also fall way behind if you don't win enough early on, can't you?
No, that's right. That's what I wrote about, you know, on your website this week. That very fact that for me, the Penguins, given their injuries, given the tough schedule that's coming up, they got 3 back-to-backs coming up here in the next couple of weeks. They cannot afford to get way behind everybody else in the Eastern Conference playoff race, the wild card race. They just can't. And that's why it's for me, it's actually kind of crunch time for them right now, Paul. They got to do exactly what they did last night, which was just find a way to win, even when maybe things aren't working exactly right. And for me, there's a lot of pressure on the Penguins to make sure that when Malkin comes back and Bukestad and Galchenyuk and all these guys are back, that they're not, you know, 8 points out of a playoff spot. Because you know how hard it is to make up even that when you've got so many teams that are so close together. It's so competitive.
No, it absolutely is. And I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, like you said, 4, 6, 8 points can be the difference between playing in the playoffs and staying home. You look at some of the teams that are playing right now, Bob, is there anything that you've sort of gathered so far from this early part of the season about any of the other teams?
Well, I mean, I would say that some of the teams that have come out of the gate really, really hot have been surprising. You know, in the West, the Edmonton Oilers haven't lost a game. So kudos to Dave Tippett. This guy's a smart coach. But, you know, I don't think anybody foresaw that happening. You know, the Ducks, who got beat by the Penguins the other night, they were off to a great start. This is a young team that they have in Anaheim, and they really, really did well. And I mentioned Dallas in the West, and a lot was expected of them, and they're off to a terrible start. Look at the Sabres. Their power play is awesome. You know, guys like Olofsson and Eichel are doing what they expected to do. Detroit's off to a start that nobody could have seen coming, to be honest with you. So early in the season, and I think the other one I would mention is the Devils have surprised me. The Devils made a bunch of moves in the offseason, and for me, that meant they were going to be better than they were last year when they were awful, to be honest with you. But I still didn't expect them to be a playoff team, but I expected them to be better, and they've been really bad, and their goaltending has hurt them. So, you know, early on, I think we're seeing some surprises at both kind of the top end and the bottom end.
One team that people kind of expected to be good this year was Carolina, and so far they've been pretty good.
Oh, the only question you had about Carolina really was, you know, Mrazek and Reimer, the two goaltenders. Could they handle it? Because I've not been impressed with Reimer through his career, whether you go back to, you know, Florida or you go back to Toronto. And Mrazek can be really good when he's playing well. You know, and those two guys have split their couple of starts, and here they are. They haven't lost. They look like everything that was advertised. Like they've picked up right where they were last season. And the scary part for the teams in the East that they should be worried about is Carolina's perfect 4 games, 4 wins, and Sebastian Aho really hasn't gotten out of the gate. He hasn't done much at all. And he, you know, for me, he's probably their best forward. So Carolina's the real deal, and they're a team that's going to put pressure on Washington, you know, to win the Metropolitan Division. There's no question.
Yeah, I mean, there is no question. Bob, just a couple more minutes with Bob Grove, who obviously writes for our website but is a Penguins historian. Bob, do you think that if you look at this Penguins team, they have a chance to sort of forge an identity? I thought last year they never really found an identity. I mean, they weren't fast, they weren't slow, they weren't heavy, they weren't, you know, light, they weren't old, they weren't young. You know, what could this team's identity be by, you know, midseason?
Well, I think this team, when everyone's healthy, Paul, for me, this team is not only a little bit younger, but it's a little bit quicker. And their identity should be really a team that still is going to beat you most nights when they have the puck. That's what they're about. You know, their defense is okay. It's nothing great. Matt Murray, I still think, is one of the best, you know, young goalies in the game, even though for me it's pretty much an uneven kind of start for the season for him. To be honest with you, you know, I didn't think he wasn't good against Winnipeg, and he gave up a bad goal last night, even though they won, and he was better later in the game. So you're going to get, he'll be fine. I mean, Matt Murray will be fine, but the Penguins are never going to be a team that overwhelm you with how smart they are and how great they manage the puck. I know that's what Sullivan talks about all the time, and there's a reason why. It's because this team has to work on that. To me, the Penguins are still a team that when they're playing their best, they're scoring a lot of goals, and they're creating a lot of chances. And I think they have that potential when everybody gets healthy, but I don't think we're going to see that for a few weeks.
Yeah, there's no question. They do need to get healthy, and I think that's the biggest thing. Bob, I appreciate you taking some time. I know you're very busy, but it's always nice to talk to you, and hopefully we can do it again soon sometime.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Paul.
All right, that's Bob Grove.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.